Hello, everyone, and welcome once again to the Tate Podcast. My name is Evan Forrester. I'm sitting here with the Chief Technical Architect at Tate, Jeff Peck. Jeff, how are you?
Very good, thanks.
And today we're going to be talking a little bit about LTE. So LTE is a phrase that we've all heard. Three-letter acronyms, or TLAs, are quite famous in our industry. But Jeff, I was wondering if you could just explain a little bit about what LTE actually is.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Acronyms are a bit of a problem in this sort of industry, aren't they? Really, LTE stands for long-term evolution. And it's a reasonably new cellular standard, a global cellular standard, that really aims to deliver high bandwidth data. And so what it allows for your phone is things like streaming video, that sort of thing. Most modern smartphones, in fact, have LTE capability already. And it's a highly capable new standard that's certainly got a lot of people very interested. And the standard's controlled by an organization called 3GPP, Third Generation Partnership Project. That's yet another acronym. That's a four-letter acronym for you. And almost every part of the creation of these standards is open and publicly available. And the benefit of that is that people can see clearly where these are going and what the new standards are going to deliver. And in fact, you can even contribute to these standards if you want to. So it's really good. 3GPP have like most of these kinds of bodies, have a very long view of things. And standards like LTE are going to be around for a long time, 20 years or more. So it's quite important to understand how it's going to impact the mission-critical world. And I think the other point about the name, it's implicit in the name, evolution, is that it evolves over time. It's a standard that evolves. And they usually call them quite unimaginatively through these numbered releases. And most of the commercial networks around the world are currently sitting on release 8 and release 9. But obviously there's going to be these new releases coming up, and that's partly what I want to talk about. And it's a good thing that the content of these releases is signaled well in advance, because that means that we can start to put in place the systems that takes advantage of the new feature sets of these systems. It's kind of interesting, these new releases of LTE are going to provide quite a lot of benefit for mission-critical communications. It's a really fundamental part of the new releases of LTE, and I guess that's really what I want to talk about. I'll just say a couple of things about 3GPP first, though. They're an interesting organization because they don't really operate like the sort of old-fashioned standards bodies that people might be familiar with. They're a bit more like the Borg on Star Trek. You know, it's not quite resistance is futile, but they certainly absorb anything of value from other standards. And the result is they move really fast. And so basically when these standards come out, they're ready to go from the get-go. They're really good. And that's a key feature of standards like LTE. When they hit the road, they really deliver.
So, as you said, LTE, a lot of people have it on their smartphones already. What's the status of LTE in mission critical space? Because, you know, being able to use something on your personal device is a lot different than needing it in a mission critical situation.
It's certainly a fact that mission critical organizations around the world have been using cellular technology for ages. They pretty much use it ubiquitously. But the problem is that cellular systems the current cellular systems simply don't provide mission critical capability. They're highly capable, and it's not the fact that the cellular systems are not reliable. That's not really the issue. The issue is that they're designed for commercial use, not for mission critical use. And so at times of peak load, and ironically, this often happens when there's an emergency, cellular systems start to overload. And of course, if they're overloaded, then even mission critical first responders can't get onto the cellular system. And so you get this kind of double whammy effect where the system's so overloaded that the people who must get on the system can't get there. And this is quite familiar to everybody. Anyone who's been through even a big sports game knows that you can't access your cell phone because everyone else is. So imagine what happens in an emergency. And so previous generations of cellular technology have not been able to deliver mission-critical capability, but the public safety community has been lobbying 3GPP quite hard over many years to include features that will directly support mission-critical functionality. And these new releases, called Release 12 and 13, are coming up soon, and they will have substantial support for mission-critical functionality. And it's important to know that it's not only that the features are being added to support mission-critical, but the networks themselves, that the LTE network in itself is being improved to the point where it can offer the resilience and kind of robustness that mission-critical needs. Because you've got to remember, these are unique needs. They're not the same as a normal commercial user.
So, Jeff, I think you raised some great points, and I've definitely experienced that at a sporting event where no one can even text each other, much less make a phone call or check their, check something online. So we've heard that cellular standards, that LTE, that these things are coming over and they're going to take over mission-critical networks. Is that really true, or what's different this time? Because we keep hearing it, but there still seems to be a pretty important need for LMR.
Sure. Well, first of all, I think we've got to understand where the state of these LTE standards are at and where they support mission critical. Now, these new standards that are coming out in Release 12 and Release 13, there's a lot of effort going in to support mission critical functionality. I think something around 70% of Release 12 contains the features that will benefit mission critical. And this is probably the biggest single release that 3GPP has ever released. Now, not all of these features are just in there to support mission-critical users. There's things like proximity services, which is really there to also support commercial users, because it allows commercial retailers and that sort of thing to target you when you approach their shop. They can see that you're in the vicinity, you're in proximity to them, and they can send you targeted ads on your phone directly and say, well, you visited us last and you bought this. Well, now we've got a special on these line items. So you can see that proximity services is really there for a wider benefit than simply to replicate the direct mode functionality that mission critical users will be familiar with. But it will do a very good job of supplying direct mode functionality, which is a key feature for mission critical users. A lot of these features are called service enablers. And that's because they're delivering the capability to deliver a service, not necessarily the service itself. So, for instance, in that proximity services example I gave you, it's the merchant that's actually creating the content that's attracting the person, not the carrier. The carrier is providing the capability of making it happen.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is also a vital point to understand when to understand whether or not LTE is really going to replace LMR systems completely. Fundamentally, though, the carriers are going to have all of the key features that we think are unique to LMR are going to be available on commercial carrier networks. And this will be available as a capability, and I think it'll probably start to happen 2016, 2017, that kind of time frame.
That's pretty soon.
I think it's a bit hard to say, because some carriers are going to start experimenting earlier. But my personal opinion is that mission-critical users won't like being guinea pigs, and so they will want to see matured developments before they start to commit themselves. But I think I'll stick with my dates for the moment. I think if we just look at this for mission-critical push-to-talk, which is kind of the key function that first responders are used to on their public safety radios, and this has had a pretty checkered history with cellular push-to-talk, pretty poor performance for the reasons I've explained. And this is really because the cellular systems tried to replicate the really fast setup and volley times of a true mission critical system. But the new standard that's coming out inside LTE replicates very closely the performance of mission critical push to talk. And this is kind of unique. This is something new that's happening.
Why is it so hard to make mission-critical push-to-talk work on a public cellular system?
I guess the previous attempts have really been these what's called over-the-top solutions, which means they just basically flow data through a carrier network, and the carrier network doesn't really know what that data is. It's just a data stream coming from a phone, going to some other device. And we've all experienced this. I mean, if you try Skype, And Skype works really well generally, but we've all experienced the dropouts that happen over the internet with things like Skype. Well, that's really not acceptable in a mission-critical situation, of course. Sure. And so it's really fundamental to the way that those older cellular systems are set up compared with the new LTE systems, which are designed to deliver mission-critical grade performance. And fundamentally, the network itself is contributing to this performance. It's been quite interesting because the carriers and the standards bodies haven't really understood the key needs of mission critical. And even 3GPP fell into this trap early on, and their early attempts at delivering a mission critical push-to-talk standard really didn't progress very well because there was a lack of fundamental understanding from the mission of the mission critical community's needs to make it work. That's actually been changed now, and 3GPP have created a whole new body, a whole new working group, should I say, to address this need and look at applications going forward. And so mission-critical push-to-talk is well on track for release 13.
So LTE is going to bring in all these new features that are great for critical communication users. Will there still be a role for LMR in the future?
I think that's a really interesting question. It used to be the fact that all of the critical features that mission-critical users needed were solely available over LMR networks. But in the future, all of these features are going to be, the capability for these features are going to be available on public cellular systems. In other words, the carriers, the commercial carriers, will have the capability of delivering mission-critical features. And we've discussed what some of those features are already. However, the key point is that simply having the capability to deliver features and functionality does not deliver a solution. And there are several reasons why I think that LMR solutions, the sort that TAPE provide, are going to continue to serve the mission critical needs for a long time to come. And the first of these reasons is that these LMR systems already meet the standard operating procedures, the way that mission critical users operate, because they've been developed in concert with them. So essentially you've got almost a symbiosis, if you like, between the communication system that first responders use and the way they operate. They're so interlocked at the moment that I think it's really important to know that LMR delivers that now. So you've got a solution right now.
Sure.
And this is, I mean, why would that need go away? I don't think it will. And changing standard operating procedures is a big deal, as we know. And the second one, and the second key point, is coverage. Commercial cellular networks target, they're there for a profit, so they're targeting population centres primarily. They don't target rural areas. And so if you look at typical coverage of a cellular system compared with an LMR system, you see that the cellular systems generally only approach a relatively small fraction of what LMR systems can do already. And this is available now. And so what that means, of course, is that, as we know, emergencies don't necessarily take place in the middle of cities. They take place anywhere.
Right.
And responding to an emergency requires people to go into regions where there may be and frequently is no cellular coverage. And so that's a key point. And I think that Tate's response to this is that we're going to continue to deliver world-class LMR technology. And we've been working with LTE since 2012. We've actually had an LTE system here working since 2012. So we've built up a lot of experience with how to make LMR systems and LTE systems coexist. In other words, rather than take the lowest common denominator, the sort of the minimum subset of functionality from each one and try to glue that together, what we've come up with is ways of getting the best out of both of those systems. So rather than simply rely on the coverage of one or the performance of another and having to choose, basically you get the functionality of both, the best features of both are rolled together.
So, I mean, a very practical question. From what you said, the answer seems pretty clear. But let's say I'm a public safety officer or, a radio manager for a utilities organization. Anyone who's looking, they're kind of on the fence, their mission critical communication system, it's coming close to the end of life and they're trying to decide, Do I invest in LMR today, or do I wait a couple of years to see what happens in LTE? What would you do in that situation?
Sure. I think it's, to me, it's really clear. Anybody's sensible future communication system will require a combination of different network types. And so the answer is not, one is not better than the other, but both are necessary to get the capability and functionality that those people need. They will need both capabilities. And the good outcome here is that the LTE systems will be provided by commercial carriers. So no need to invest large amounts of infrastructure and resource. These people already have LMR systems, which we are improving and augmenting. And we're also providing the glue that joins the LMR system to these future LTE systems and Wi-Fi as well. I mean, it's not just limited to public carrier systems. And if I could just give you an example of what we do, one of the things that we've been working on for some time now and now have fully operational is this ability to seamlessly roam voice calls between networks. So, for instance, you can start a voice call up on your LMR network and then in mid-call, roam that call seamlessly onto an LTE or a Wi-Fi network or vice versa. So what that does, the benefit for users, any kind of user, is that they no longer have to worry about the network and what sort of network they're connected to and whether they're in coverage of this or that or the next thing. Basically, they just pick up their favorite device, start a call. It will then operate over whichever network is available or appropriate at that moment. Right. They don't even have to think about it.
And they can talk when they need to talk. Always connected.
And surely, to me, that's the essence of mission critical.
Yeah.
It should always work everywhere the same on all networks.
Okay, well, Jeff, I think you've helped me understand a lot more about the situation with LTE and LMR. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Yeah, I think that the original point that you asked just now was to talk about should someone choose LMR or LTE. I think that the point to make here, the answer is really that LMR systems are going to be around for a long time and going to provide key value to you for a long time. And so the best answer I think I can make is to, you know, go talk to your vendor, go talk to Tait and understand how these systems can be joined to provide benefit and future-proofing going forward.
Yeah, and you don't have to worry that if you're going to buy an LMR system today, in 3 years' time, everyone's going to be acting like you were a fool because you don't need it anymore. It's going to be around for a long time.
You're definitely not going to be a fool. They're going to be saying you were really smart.
Well, Jeff, thank you very much. Thank you to everyone who's listening. As always, you can subscribe to the Tait podcast in iTunes, or you can visit us at blog.taitradio.com, or you can find this along with other helpful content about critical communications. Thanks, everyone. Have a good day.